All right, so now I'm at the end of the atomic physics part, because I'm really supposed to be doing molecular physics. And we'll see what we've learned from this. First of all, that the Schrödinger equation describes these atomic states very accurately. If you look in the databases, there's 10 significant figures. They know exactly what these energy levels are. And no one has ever observed a discrepancy between experiments and this calculations using the Schrödinger equation. We understand in great detail what happens using the Schrödinger equation. Unfortunately, it's hard to calculate. So even though we know how to write down the Schrödinger equation, in many cases we can't solve it directly and we have to use some kind of approximation. So it's unfortunate, but the most important equation in physics is intractable. And a common first approach is to neglect the electron-electron interactions, and then in that case, you can find a solution to the Schrödinger equation. And this solution for atoms involves products of the atomic orbitals. And the atomic orbitals are basically scaled hydrogen wave functions. So for any atom, you can write down right away what this wave function looks like. It's a complicated thing, right? Because for something, even lithium, it's a product of three hydrogen wave functions, and there's the function of, for lithium, it's going to be something like e to the minus r1 over the Bohr radius times e to the minus r2 over the Bohr radius times, I think it's 2 minus r over the Bohr radius times e to the minus, this is r3, e to the minus r3 over 2a0. It's a function that looks something like this. And as you get more and more electrons in the wave function, this product just gets longer and longer, and you start to include p and the sines and cosines in it, and you start to get a long complicated function. But you can write down this first approximation fairly easily. Okay. To get a more exact value for these energy levels, you have to then use some kind of numerical technique. So if you want a more accurate value for the energy levels, then you have to use a computer. And usually what happens is that instead of neglecting the electron-electron interactions completely, you focus on one electron, you know the approximate wave function already, and you take the average position of all the other electrons and include that in the potential. So you're trying to write down the Schrödinger equation for one of the electrons, and instead of, in the first approximation, what we do is just throw out all the other electrons and just ignore them completely. And what's better than that is to focus on one electron and then just take the average position of all the other electrons and include that in the potential, and then calculate the wave functions. And you do that once, and then you have to repeat a number of times, and there's a whole numerical routine that you have to do. Two common methods are called density functional theory or Hartree-Fock. In some sense, these are clever guessing. You're really guessing somehow with the computer. You're looking for the best solution by trying something, finding a lower energy, trying again. You're doing it with the computer using a certain technique. And I'm not going to go into that. You should just know that these techniques exist. We're going to stick always, if I ask you what's the multi-electron wave function, you have to tell me the atomic orbitals multiplied together. You don't have to solve using some program a better wave function than that. Also, that you make some assumptions about the core wave functions, because if you include too many electrons, it's hard to work numerically. So typically, you only work with the valence electrons, and there's not really a good rule to say we include these electrons, we ignore those electrons. The thing to do is you start out with a few valence electrons, then you include a little more and see if it makes a difference in the calculation and proceed like that. But you start with the valence electrons, and here I say that you use some assumptions about the core electrons, but we're going to just simply ignore them. So the electrons that are in the low energy levels, they're occupied, they're not really doing anything but shifting the overall energy. So our approach will be to ignore them, and we'll just deal with the valence electrons.
Okay, so now we're going to do